Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com on this May the 28th, and we are at least on the East Coast. It's May the 28th, May the 27th on the West Coast. Hope everyone had a wonderful Memorial Day. That is, if you didn't forget about it. We're supposed to remember that day. I guess that's why we call it Memorial Day. I have a scheduled guest, Dr. Kasim Khalil, or Dr. K, as he is known affectionately by listeners across the country. For some reason, we're having trouble making contact with him tonight. Hopefully, he didn't forget about the show. We had a two-hour show planned. So in the meantime, I'm going to wing it. Maybe he will establish contact with us and be with us shortly. Nevertheless, I have a few things that I would like to talk about. This is the start of my fourth hour on radio today, so it's been a long day. I was on Michael Herzog's The American Awakening on RBN this afternoon for 2 hours, and we discussed the genealogy of the McCain clan. And McCain, or McCann, as I pointed out, is originally from Scotland. The ancestry goes to Scotland, direct to Scotland, not through the United States, as is published in many biographies. So it's a very controversial story, very controversial piece of information that I have uncovered by doing the research and going down the rabbit hole. I've had... In less than a week, I've had soon approaching 8,700 people just on my website alone reading this one article. These days, people like to look at movies and listen to people talk about these things. They don't like to read that much. So we know we have at least 8,700 people that have been to my website, directlightproductions.com, to actually read this article and take a look at some photographs that are described in the article, as well as the details about how they pulled this thing off. And there's more damning evidence coming out in next month's issue of the Idaho Observer, and I will be exposing his father, as well as some anomalies about his own career. This is definitely an expose on, and it's a piece written not according to how the historians would have it, but what you find when you actually do some digging and do the real research. So I want to thank all the people that complimented my work. I'm just the messenger, so to speak. Somebody has to look this stuff up, and I happen to be the one. I can talk about it. In fact, I intended a little bit with our guest to be able to talk about it, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen right now. We may have a surprise guest up at the bottom of the hour anyway, so I'm not going to worry too much about it. In the meantime, now, there are lots of things going on with this election. Of course, the mainstream media is pushing three candidates, even though there were more candidates actually running for the presidency. One particular congressman by the name of Ron Paul, that's got millions of supporters around the country, that's raised more money in short amounts of time than any of the other candidates put together. In fact, it's a grassroots support that Congressman Paul has. And yet you hear nothing about him in the mainstream media. When he was in the debates, they would ask him these token questions. Many of the questions were intended to put him on the defensive or to manipulate him into a topical area that would possibly incriminate himself, alienate himself from potential voters, or just purely make him look stupid. And what they have done now on the basis of all the success that he has gotten, and he's gotten quite a bit of success from people who have been following his campaign on the internet, and that they've been trying to now portray all the people that support him on the internet as internet wackos. Yet, we must remind our listeners that the Pentagon, the U.S. military, wanted the internet for their own devious purposes. And it just so happened that people eventually, with the creation of the concept of the World Wide Web, a computer programmer in England came up with this idea, it became available to everyone. Now, as you may recall, the internet at one point was to be free for everyone, that our tax dollars paid for it, but it's been turned into a propaganda tool by the powers that be, basically the CIA, the NSA, Homeland Security, FEMA, the FBI, and any other intelligence agency out there. The funny thing about the word intelligence agency is they lack intelligence. And they lack integrity, the integrity they're supposedly representing. Now, they're supposed to be representing the security of our country, and they use their activities for the basis of spying on people, intimidating people, and interfering with our private communications, interfering with our private banking, interfering with our private lives. And they do all this in the name of national security, yet the hypocrisy is that they are the ones that are creating all the national insecurity. Now, I happen to read a very interesting article today written by the former Wantagate reporter, the main source of information from the Ambassador Leo Emil Wanta, and Michael C. Cottrell, the vice president and treasurer of Wanta's Ameritrust Group, Inc., which has been nothing more than a CIA money laundering operation. Christopher Story has disconnected himself or severed his connections with Wanta. And what's becoming clear to me is this is just a ruse to keep us from not looking really at what's going on, and has more to do with gold theft around the world. The destabilization of the Russian ruble certainly would not be as important as all the trillions of dollars of gold that's being stolen. And it's become very apparent that that even I, as an investigative reporter, although I dug up many of the facts that were out there, they're probably the facts or the paper trail that the CIA itself laid out there for researchers like myself and J. Orland Grabby and Christopher Story and anyone else who has written at length about the whole story. What I'm seeing now is it's all about money laundering, derivative hedge fund fraud in the securities markets, as well as the theft of gold, which is occurring all over the planet. This is what's got countries like Russia upset, and countries like France, and Holland, and Spain, and Mexico, and Portugal, and China. In fact, China's at their wit's end because our country owes them $35 trillion because of the monies that have been stolen by the current administration. Now, if you go into some serious documentation at Christopher Story's website, www.worldreports.org, you can read firsthand from a CIA agent who filed a report with Congressman Henry Waxman very recently. This is within the last couple of days that this was filed. And so Congress has indication of massive corruption going on with Halliburton, where Halliburton has a Halliburton CIA office and a Halliburton Pentagon office, and they're running their business contracts through the CIA and through the Pentagon, and let me tell you, they are fraudulent contracts We're talking about massive money laundering, outright theft. For instance, I read a story in this very, very detailed and explicit document about the complicity of Donald Rumsfeld and former director of Central Intelligence George Tenet to cover this up. Dick Cheney, our vice president, is the one running this, as well as George W. Bush himself. Their signatures are on receipts and papers showing that they bought they sold to the Pentagon 1,000 toasters that were stolen. Now, we're talking about the kind of toasters that you use to bake bread, a slice of bread. If you want toast and coffee in the morning, you pop the bread into the toaster. A $19.95 toaster sold for $1,891. 1,000 of them. That's a total of $189,100 spent on 1,000 toasters. What made these toasters so expensive, according to Halliburton? They were made with titanium, that they needed titanium toasters for the soldiers in Iraq. There are numerous accounts of weapons or supplies shipped to the soldiers in half shipments. They charge it for a full shipment, and they're receiving half of these shipments, regardless of what it is. Pretty much across the board, it's just widespread corruption. There's a story about some 500 computers manufactured in Japan that have the capability of spying on the offices of wherever these computers are placed, that the computer can read everything on the desktop. And I'm not speaking about the computer's desktop. I'm speaking about papers on one's desk or papers on one's walls. And that the computer can be turned on remotely, can be turned on after hours, and basically just spy on the whole room. 500 of these computers, Lord knows how much they cost. But these were being sold privately by Bush and Cheney in a private showing, probably at the White House, where they were actually pocketing the cash. This is on film. This is in the disclosure to Henry Waxman. What are we going to do about these things, folks? Are we going to let these things just be swept under the rug like everything else? Now, Carlyle Group, which makes up a consortium of these military industrial contractors owned by international interests, and of course Cheney is part of this group, contracted themselves with a company in Saudi Arabia. In fact, we heard about this 2 years ago, and I brought it to everyone's attention, that we have a Middle Eastern company manufacturing ammunition soldiers. Stop and think about that. We're fighting a war against the Middle East, but we're buying ammo from the Middle East. Does that make sense to anyone out there? Only if you're trying to destroy this country does it make sense. Only those that are trying to destroy the country would conduct such business activities, and it's described in detail in this document at Christopher Story's story site, as well as on my website, directlightproductions.com. You can go there, click on news. It's the first news item. It's a very, very revealing, very detailed article, and it deals with the disinformation in the Watergate saga, as well as the disinformation that's coming out, and the real information coming out exposing this fraud. Now, the Saudi company that is manufacturing a particular piece of artillery is putting out a pretty shoddy product that we're paying enormous amounts of money for, and it has it resulted in the deaths of two soldiers during tests of the weapon. One soldier was crushed by this weapon, and I don't know the specifics on it, but I would presume if it's something large, like some kind of a 50-millimeter long-range piece of artillery or something even more sophisticated than that, when it fell on the individual, he was crushed. Another soldier had to nearly have his leg amputated because it severed an artery in his leg, and they couldn't stop the bleeding. Despite these two deaths that occurred, and other injuries, at least 22 other major injuries, and we're talking about brain concussions from the recoil when the weapon is fired. And this is during the test. They went and ordered 1,000 of these units, deemed unsafe, deemed of a very low quality by many engineers who examined the weapon. Yet that the Carlyle Group is profiting from this. And again, Cheney and his buddies are making money, as well as Bush. In fact, the contract on this weapon affords George W. Bush 9.6% of the proceeds. And there's some 2.8%, I believe, of the proceeds goes to the Pentagon or to someone like Donald Rumsfeld. It's an amazing article, and it reveals massive corruption. There is a device which is a training device for CIA operatives that is basically a learning device. They learn how to undergo interrogation. It's a device that costs $5 million, and it teaches them how to pass lie detector tests. Actually, Cheney asked what the odds were that he was going to need this machine for himself, and he was told that the odds were 4% that he would ever have to have this machine. And then he informed the person he had asked this question that he had already sold this to the Russians. This is what our tax dollars paid for. Cheney pocketed the money himself. Now, if I'm to believe this article by Christopher Story, which is based upon documents sent to one of our congressmen, that it has to come to us from a man in England is a sin. That our Congress, our Senate are doing absolutely nothing but raping us financially, they're traitors, all of them, if they're not bringing this to the media's attention, and the media doesn't know about this, the media doesn't have the gonads to report it, and not to mention the death threats that are being cast about against people, and there's a very, very detailed description of how they're doing away with CIA operatives and their families in different parts of the world. For example, and I hate to be so graphic, but it's described in and alluded to in a similar manner in the article, that it's going to shock some people, that one particular daughter of a CIA agent was basically just ripped to shreds. The skin was peeled off of her face while she was alive. And there was evidence that she was kicking and screaming and fighting this, that she was alive while this was happening. This is the depravity, the level of depravity that these people have gone to. And they're passing laws to shut us up? Oh, no way. Absolutely no way. Now, I'm quite upset about this, and I'm not so upset that Dr. K didn't make it tonight, because we can always book him again. But I do have a surprise, and I'm told that I have a guest host, a co-host with me tonight, or a guest, and if he's there, speak up.
Hello, Don Nikoloff.
This is Michael Herzog, if I know that voice.
That would be me. Yes, sir. I've been burning up the airwaves like Paul Revere tonight, my friend. And I want to thank you for allowing me to take a little time and come on your show. As you know, and we've spoken off the air, that a very tragic event has happened in my family. Nazi Germany has arrived here in the United States, Don. My daughter was, I say kidnapped, technically arrested by Homeland Security today. And she has been she has been taken outside of the county to a detention center. One of those detention centers that are on the list of prison camps in the United States that they say don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Florence, Arizona, and indeed it does exist, and she is there as we speak. She has been arrested on a blatant bogus charge. The charge, even the arresting officer admitted that the charge made no sense whatsoever. But I wanted to let your listening audience be aware that this is happening. They are now bringing it to a town near us, and it's starting to affect all of us. And if we don't, and your listening audience, and I'm putting out the call, Don, for people, it's time to stand up. I'm putting out the call to all of the Patriot community. I'm putting out the call to all people who believe in freedom, who believe in a constitutional republic, and saying the time is now. We must do something about this monster that has crept up around us, or we're going down.
Yes, for those listeners that don't know who Michael Herzog is, Michael has been a guest on my show, and I've been a guest on his many more times, even when I didn't have a show. I was a guest on Michael's show on a weekly basis, talking about some of the things I've been talking about tonight. In fact, I was on Michael's show for 2 hours today, and during his introduction, by the way, the show is called The American Awakening on Republic Broadcasting Network. And Michael alluded that this had happened at the onset of his show today, and this is insanity. This is just pure insanity. These people are demon-possessed. They are in total violation of their own laws, and not to mention our Constitution, and we have to do something about this. Any one of us can be next. Now, I told Michael personally that to me it appears that he's being singled out because he is very outspoken about corruption in the government. So what do? They kidnap his daughter and take her to one of these concentration camps? Really, that's what it is. It's a concentration camp. They can make it sound nice and call it a FEMA camp or Homeland Security or something like that, or detention center. It's a concentration camp. It's got barbed wire, I'm pretty sure.
I've been there. It does. It has barbed wire. Two fences, barbed wire, guard poles, the whole nine yards.
Now, what is their justification for putting her there? I mean,
they have no justification. As I said, even the arresting officer was perplexed. He has no idea. But of course, they're compartmentalized. They don't know. All his job is to do, by his assertion, was to arrest her. He could give us no answers. Now, what they did was they set her up. They sent her a very nice, cordial letter. It was what is called a status review. They told her that she was to appear today at immigration on the 27th today, to review her status. And what she was thinking was they were going to go ahead and give her a work permit, green card, whatever. And so Lindsay, her mother, took the opportunity to go down there with her because Lindsay had been trying to get in, to see these people, which is almost impossible to do. If they don't want to see you, you're not going to be seen. Their hours are from 8:30 to 1:30. You have to make an appointment, or they have to send you a letter, or you do not get in. Lindsay had been trying to contact them over a letter that she had received a couple of months ago to no avail. She had been down there twice with other appointments. They have thrown their hands up in the air both times and said, well, we don't know what this is all about. This is strange to us. So at any rate, Lindsay took the opportunity to go down there with her daughter today to actually get in the presence of somebody to state her case. And when they were in the waiting room, the door opened, there was an officer there. The officer said, well, who are you? She said, well, I'm her mother, I'm Lindsay. They said, well, you'll have to wait here. There's a few questions that we need to ask Megan in private. So Lindsay said, fine, went out, sat in the waiting room. 10 minutes later, they came out and told Lindsay that they had arrested her daughter. And Lindsay asked why, and they said, well, we don't know. And, of course, Lindsay just went into an emotional seizure, practically. She begged and pleaded with these people for 10, 15 minutes. There's no rhyme or reason for an arrest. They know where she's at. They know where they live, okay, because they've watched them for months. So Lindsay finally persuaded the officer to go back and talk to one of his supervisors. The officer did that, came back, and said, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to release her, but we're going to process her first, which is going to take about an hour to an hour and a half. You just sit out here and wait, and then when we get through, we'll bring her out. Well, 3 hours goes by, and of course, you can imagine the emotion and the stress involved in this. 3 hours later, the officer comes back and says, well, there's another official that's going to come out and talk to you in 10 or 15 minutes. So another half hour goes by. Finally, this official comes out and says, well, we have a slight problem here. Lindsay says, a slight problem? He says, well, actually, it's a major problem. She said, well, what's the problem? Well, ironically, when they originally came over here 4 years ago, they get a 90-day visa like anybody does when they're traveling, you know, from country to country. On the back of that 90-day visa, it has particular stipulations for, you know, you can only stay 90 days, and if you don't, then you can't come back for so long a period of time. They used that as an excuse that Megan had overstayed her visa. But the problem is that while Lindsay was here on that visa with her family, we got married.
And she was a dependent child, right?
She was a dependent child. All of the package, there was a package with her and her two siblings, so there's three children involved. All of them got a Social Security number. All of them were issued all of the pertinent documents from the government, which supersedes all of that. And the officer agreed with that. He was totally speechless. He could not give a reasonable, logical answer for the arrest. So what they used as an excuse was that she had overstayed her visa. But she was totally legal because she was in this documented package that we paid, I believe it was $7,500 in total, for all of these particular permits and everything that, you know, that she was supposed to get. And now they've said, well, you know, I'm sorry, but we're taking her away. And what's interesting about this is that within 2 miles of this immigration facility, there is the county jail where they house all the illegals that Sheriff Joe Arpaio here in Maricopa County rounds up. And instead of taking her to this facility 2 miles away, they shipped her 75 miles out to Florence, Arizona, into a concentration camp. Now, I'm thinking that it has something to do with immediately getting Megan out of the sheriff's jurisdiction to cause further problems as far as being able to, you know, point a finger at anybody or find out, you know, who to go to or whatever. This is very, very suspicious. The entire arrest, by the demeanor of the officers involved, is very suspicious. So, you know, there's no question, and we've talked about this behind the scenes, Don, you know, that this is not to do with Megan. Megan is she's innocent, she's done nothing wrong. Lindsay's innocent, she's done nothing wrong. She's complied with everything that they've said. This is not about them, this is about me. But now, also, it's about Lindsay because, and I'll share with the listening audience, there was a point where Homeland Security had told my wife not to have anything to do with me, to file for a divorce right away, don't have any future contact with me at all. They asked a multitude of questions about who my contacts were. Who did she know who I knew in North Carolina and in Michigan and Minnesota? She asked questions about the owner of the network of which I work for. Okay, so it's obvious that it wasn't about her. It was about me. They asked if I was dangerous. Okay, so because she defied them, the Homeland Security had set up a meeting with her at her place of employment, and they told her not to have any contact with me. Well, as soon as you tell Lindsay that, she immediately comes and tells me everything. And as soon as they found out, when she, they phoned her the next morning and they said, forget it, we're not having a meeting, your employment is terminated. This was back in February. So they have terminated her employment. She has been without the ability to earn a living for the past almost 4 months now. And now, because she defied them, I believe the reason is because she defied them, and she did not take their advice, and she did not have a meeting with them. They knew that they couldn't get anywhere with her, so I believe that they used, instead of arresting Lindsay, I believe that they arrested her daughter to cause mental and emotional stress on her.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michael, I'm just thinking of something, and for as far as you're concerned, your daughter has been kidnapped, Lindsay's
Absolutely.
Daughter. Okay, who handles kidnapping investigations in Maricopa County? Would that be Sheriff Joseph Arpaio?
Well, I would imagine it would be the local police. The problem is this, is that Homeland Security now has entered into, they control immigration. They control the IRS. They oversee the police departments. They give directives to the police department. They answer to nobody. They're almost like Blackwater, okay? They're immune. And so if you go and file a kidnapping charge with the attorney general or whatever you do, it's going to go nowhere because this is federal. And they're going to say, well, it's beyond our jurisdiction. Now, I've got a list of people of which I've been on a couple other shows tonight, and I've been putting the word out to the entire community that, and the listening audience has been so cordial to me. They've given me a lot of information. I'm going to be a busy fellow tomorrow making phone calls to different people. But this must start from the top down, because right now there's no place to go. They will not answer. It's interesting that even the arresting officers, they'll give you a business card, and it'll have a telephone number on it, and it'll also have a cell phone number on it. But when you call that cell phone number, like I did, there will be a different individual that answers the phone than the guy that's on the card. And it's not a human being. It's a voicemail. Leave a message, we'll call you back. And it's been my experience for several months now that any of these people that you call, they never return your phone calls. So you're locked into this void where you can get no answers from these people. This is literally organized crime. And I'm sorry if I sound a little bit upset, but I'm very frustrated here. Because here's this innocent girl, 19 years old, that has done nothing to anybody. And these diabolical, insidious people have kidnapped her and taken her to a concentration camp. Somebody that has done nothing wrong, that has not been involved, not harmed anybody. Okay? And this is the tactics that these people are in our government are using. And this is absolutely abominable.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree, and you know how I feel. In fact, I was just talking about organized crime at the top, right in the White House, right before you called in. I don't know if you could hear what I was talking about, but I was alluding to new information that has come out about the corruption in the CIA and the Pentagon and Halliburton's private offices in the CIA and in the Pentagon. And while this is going on, while they're making money hand over fist, literally putting the cash in their pockets on the spot for stolen goods, goods that have been paid for by taxpayers. And speaking about Bush and Cheney, you're going through this in your family. This is absolute madness. This is demonic. And it's about time that people start doing something. Saying something. You're not making this up, are you, Michael?
No, I'm not making this up. This just happened to us today. And not only that, but they put my wife through absolute mental torture today, because what they did when they originally arrested her, my wife begged and pleaded with this officer. He went back, talked to his supervisor, came back and said, okay, well, we're going to release her. They kept her thinking this for 3+ hours. The stress and the emotional trauma involved with this, thinking she's waiting there for her daughter to come out, only to be surprised with them coming out at the end saying, oh, I'm sorry, but no, you can't. We have to keep her because of this bogus claim. This claim that they made has absolutely nothing to do with their status. Their status is based upon a package that was put together and paid for, and an attorney was hired to do it. Okay, so they know, and the arresting officer knew and admitted as such that there was no rhyme. He was totally perplexed, but he could not answer the questions because he was instructed by his superiors not to. And so, yes, this is organized crime, and this is coming from the top down. And I'll add another interesting anomaly, and I shared this with you off the air, but I'm going to share this with your listening audience, Don. It's for the first time. From the inception, I have a radio show and I have had a website for quite some time, and of course I can go in and monitor who hits my website. The Homeland Security will hit my website every day, once a day they'll hit it. Now every once in a while I'll have a guest come on my show that's controversial or might be too close to home with some people, CIA or the administration or whatever. For example, I had Larry Sinclair on my show who has alleged that he had an illicit homosexual affair with Obama. Well, that particular day, my website was hit 11 times by Homeland Security and also twice by Obama's Chicago campaign headquarters. All right. Today, my website was hit 6 times by Homeland Security, and what's even more interesting is it was hit twice by Israel for the first time since I've had this website. And Israel hit that website within 15 seconds and stayed on there for the same amount of time as Homeland Security did. So they're communicating back and forth. As a matter of fact, I believe that Israel is running Homeland Security.
Well, Chertoff has dual citizenship.
Absolutely. I think that this is being controlled. I think that the software is being run through Israel. Okay. I find it very, very interesting, very curious, and very suspicious that Israel hit my website not once but twice by two different web, URLs or whatever, two different places in the West Bank. That mm-hmm. has never been done. That has never been done since I've had my website. And it's so curious that today, of all days, my daughter was arrested by Homeland Security, and Israel and Homeland Security both hit it a total of 8 times.
Now, have you gotten this message out to the Patriot community, Michael?
I've been on. I was on Rick Adams' show tonight, and I was on Mike Chambers' show for the last hour and a half. Now, the Patriot community and people are coming together. This is going viral. I've had a number of the phone lines have been loaded. And you had suggested, Don, putting this up and writing a story and putting it out. I've been in touch with the American Free Press. Mark Glenn wants to do a story on it. I've got patriots out there that are calling Alex Jones tomorrow. This must, and it's not just for the sake of myself or my wife or my daughter. What I need to impress, or I want people to realize, is that this could be happening to you, and it could be happening tomorrow or next week or next month. This is indeed 1933 Nazi Germany. We are there. Homeland Security parallels the SS, the Nazi Gestapo, and these people are coming calling. And you think it's out of sight, out of mind, until it comes to you. Then you realize what kind of a nightmare we are really living in.
Well, yes, this is a heavy topic. We'll make sure that we keep the message going, number one. Keep me posted as to where things lie, what you found out. To me, what you're describing, they fully well knew what they were doing from the get-go, from when they first sent that document out to her, and they every time they said something to Lindsay about the status of her interrogation and the information gathering process, they knew all along what they intended to do. They were just possibly trying to fabricate an excuse or just make her sit there and suffer for 3 hours.
Oh, there's no question.
They full well knew what.
Right. Yeah. No, their excuse was totally lame, and Lindsay called them out on it. Lindsay had her youngest daughter with her, Georgie, her youngest daughter. I believe she's 11, and she said that the reasoning that you're giving for arresting my daughter makes absolutely no sense. And if that's the case, and this is the reason, and she pushed Georgie up, very lightly pushed her up to the front of her, and she said, then why are you not taking this daughter? Why are you not taking my son? Why is it only this one daughter you're taking? And the man shrugged his shoulders and didn't have an answer for her. So what does that tell you? They singled out this girl and stole her, kidnapped her out of this family, okay, to send a message. And they pulled her out of the jurisdiction of Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio could have no say-so in it. This is obviously organized crime. This is illegal. It's kidnapping. There's no other way to look at it. Even the officers themselves knew that they didn't have a case. But they did it anyway, because they can. And that's why I say, and I'm calling out to the listening audience of all of these different networks, it's time, folks. We must stand up. We have to get back in their face. Now, I'm gonna start compiling telephone numbers of these people, and I'm putting the list out to the Patriots community. I'm putting it out on my website, and I'm asking the American public at large to start calling these people. Leave message. I had one caller that called in tonight talking about organizing a protest down at that prison in Florence. There, to take this poor girl 75 miles away and lock her up in a concentration camp when she could have been detained 2 miles from the facility makes absolutely no sense unless there was some kind of a premeditated agenda behind it. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's quite obvious. It's obvious. I mean, the American public has been lied to, and thanks to the mainstream media, very effectively, been lied to about everything. The reason why we're at war, who's making money, where our jobs have gone, what they're putting in our water, our food, our skies, everything. What they're putting in the vaccines, what's happening to our young people, how they're really brainwashing them in school. And here you have, she's 19. Okay, you have a 19-year-old girl that's not violated the law. I don't know her particulars, but let's say she has no business being in a concentration camp.
Absolutely not. That's going to do no good for her. And, you know, what's interesting is the officer told Lindsay, he says, well, it's a possibility that they could, and I emphasize the word could, they could deport her within a couple of days. Now, I've had callers that have called into my show, and this is over across the country, of people that are in these facilities. Oh, for example, there's a Carl up in Canada. He's been detained in a detention facility for a year now. He's in this legal purgatory. He's in limbo. He cannot get an audience with a judge. They have just locked him up and thrown away the key for his political position. And you know and I know, Don, they're doing this because of me, because of my political position. And what my fear is, two things. First of all, that they're going to lock her up and throw away the key. They have no intention of deporting her. They're just going to leave her in legal limbo. And also, I believe that, Lindsay was sent a letter a couple of months ago to show cause why she should not be deported. Well, there's no reason for her to show cause why she shouldn't be deported. They need to show cause why they have screwed up her file about six times. Okay.
Well, they do that on purpose. I mean, that's no big mystery.
Absolutely. They lost her fingerprints four times. They have misplaced her file twice. They have asked for information that she has sent them three times, but they keep claiming that they lose. They have separated her daughter's file from her file, which they're not supposed to do, and even their own officials have agreed that they're not supposed to do it. They're doing this deliberately, and there's a motive behind what they're doing. But what I see, what my biggest fear is, over and above my daughter being kidnapped, is that they are going to pull an Ernst Zundel on my wife, and they're going to assert that she didn't show up for a hearing, and then they're going to arrest her in the middle of the night. That's what they did to Ernst Zundel. They never sent him a notice, a final notice, and then they arrested him and told him that he didn't appear. I think that's what their plan is to do to my wife. And there's more, you know, after what happened today, I am firmly convinced that is what is going to be their next tactic. And I'm going to do everything in my power on the airwaves to stop this. Because again, this isn't about me, and it isn't about Lindsay, and it isn't about Megan. This is about the American people saying enough is enough. Okay, because these people are indeed Nazi Gestapo. They are run by a dual citizen Israeli, Michael Chertoff. These people are nefarious. They are insidious. They don't care. They are there to break up families and cause harm to people. And on the flip side of that coin, Don, we've got illegals coming over the border in droves. We've got people that are coming over and actually getting money. Cubans that step foot on the soil, getting money from the government to come in. We've got people that are coming over here on visas and taking jobs away from Americans, and they do nothing to these people. Not only that, they're talking about granting them amnesty. And on the flip side of the coin, when you do things the right way and you pay the money and you go into their immigration hearing and you pay all of their fees, then they turn around and do this to your family? This is the old, white is black, up is down, war is peace kind of thing. There is absolutely no common sense to any of this, which tells me it's Luciferian. I'm done. You can talk now. Hello? Don, are you with me? As a matter of fact, I had a listener that sent me an email that told me I was cut off four times on a show last week, and this listener sent me an email and told me that during the time that I was cut off, somebody interceded and started playing Twilight Zone music. That's what
I heard that. I heard that, so I can vouch for it.
Yeah. At any rate, I want to thank you so much for allowing me to spend some time with you and share this with your listening audience. And, folks, I have to tell you, be diligent. This is indeed real. This is coming to a town near us. I had a listener that called in today that's telling me that if you think it's bad now, 6 to 9 months from now, it's going to be tenfold what it is right now. And you remember what happened in Nazi Germany from our reading our history. First they came for the, you know, whatever it was, and, you know, I wasn't one of those, so I didn't speak up. And then they came for, the, you know, the next group, and I wasn't one of those, so I didn't speak up. Ultimately, when they came for him, there was nobody else left to speak up. And this is what's happening in our country right now. They are targeting certain individuals, and they're going to start coming after anybody that dissents, whether you're anti-war activist, whether you're a 9/11 truther, whether you're a tax defier protester, whatever it is that causes you to object to what this agenda, this government is doing, they're coming for you.
Well, it's going to be time. As I said, people are going to have to find some courage inside. And, you know, the spiritual solution to this is to get on your knees and pray to God. And we're talking about repentance here. They can't stand to think that any of us would talk to God. They can't stand that. These are Satan worshipers. They're demons themselves. If they're not demon possessed, they're the very demons we're talking about. And their actions speak much louder than any words. So, Michael,
well, Don,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, Don, the only way I've ever been able to wrap my head around who these people are is to take what the essence is of what I am and what you are and what all these good listeners are, God-fearing people, people that, you know, have joy in their heart, love, respect, they have conscience, and these people are the exact opposite. They thrive on pain. They thrive on stress. They thrive on emotional discomfort and setting it off in people. This is what is their life force. And it is diabolical, and it is evil, but it's real.
Well, we can overcome it. And we will pray for you, Michael, and I will make sure that the listening audience becomes acutely aware of what's going on. So keep me posted, and I encourage you, you know, to take a stand. I know your heart, and I know who you are, and I know that you are a light bearer, you are a truth teller, and a truth seeker. And you expose them for who they are, and they don't like it. Well, they're going to have to deal with a lot more people, because they're going to push people over the edge. And their plans, although they feel that they have them well underway, why do they have to act this way? If they're so darn sure about themselves, why do they have to be so paranoid and so fearful themselves? Everything they do is done in secrecy, in the dark, including their deviant sex activities with each other. So we know who they are quite well. There's not a whole lot of mystery behind who they are. That's what they despise, is having us expose their dirty laundry.
Oh, even their illegal acts are cloaked in secrecy. And it's amazing. You know, it's almost humorous in a way to watch these compartmentalized idiots song and dance when you ask them a direct question, because they can't answer the question, because they know they are wrong, but they have to do it anyway because they've been ordered to. Their job depends on it. And I will tell all of the people out there that are, you know, that are federal, quote, officials that are out there doing their jobs, you better take a look in the mirror. How do you sleep at night? You know, look in the mirror and ask yourself the question, do you have conscience? Can you do this? And look at your maker, and say to your maker with a clear conscience that you've done the right thing. And I think the answer to that would be that we'd see a lot of people in the government capacity looking for other jobs.
Yeah, well, it's about time we take our country back.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, Don, I thank you again for letting me spend time with you. I'm going to run here. My emails are loading up here with concerned patriots. And, you know, I mean, it really gives me a good feeling to know that there's a lot of people out there that really do care. you know. So okay. I'm going to spend the next couple of hours answering emails. But thank you again for allowing me to come on and share this with you.
Okay, okay, Michael, and you're in my prayers, and you keep in touch.
All right, thank you, Don. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, good night, folks. With that, I'm going to sign off for the evening. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and that was a special caller, Michael Herzog. You heard his story, and it's about time we do something about this. All of you folks that listen to this network that consider yourselves spiritually awake, what would you do in this situation if this happened to you? And I think the thing is that we should seriously consider not allowing it to happen anymore. In the meantime, I'll see you all tomorrow night. Have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.